This is God's Covenant Church, the Church of God established in Jesus' name. We're thanking God for another Sabbath day, and we're in the School of Wisdom. And we're thanking God for what we receive over here, the Word of God, which is our wisdom and our understanding of God. And just thanking God what God has given us. He's given us pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And I'm thanking God we are taught here to set our hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children. And we're commanded to keep God's commandment. It says, which ye shall command your children to observe, to do all the words of this law. And I'm thanking God for this life that we live, a life of holiness, obeying the word of God. It is not a vain thing, because it is your life. And this is our life, the life of holy living. And we're thanking God for the pastor that we have, according to mine own heart, our great pastor, Pastor Perry Boyd.
Thank you, Elder Petit. To the elders, missionary, deacons, all the saints, all that hear my voice, we do greet you in the name of Jesus. Another Sabbath day. Glad for the anointing that's going on. We're continuing steadfast in the prophets and the apostles' doctrine. We're going to talk about good judgment today. Before we get into that thought, the choir is going to sing this song, Obey the Word. Choir. Saints sang that number, and our musicians played in the spirit. Yes. We may not have sounded like some of these other musicians you see in some of these professional programs on TV, and but you know what? We're in the Spirit, and their heart is with God. Our announcements, Deacon Debbie?
You can visit us anytime for our broadcast messages at www.godscovenantchurch.org. Write and mail us at 425 Laconia Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90061. Or call us at any time at area code 323-754-8302. You can email us at info@godscovenantchurch.org. Also, you can subscribe to our podcast at www.godscovenantchurch.org. Now our pastor.
Thank you, Deacon. Another Sabbath day. Glad to be with you. We're in a special place. God said, I go to prepare a place for you. And God has prepared this place for us. We've come from all walks of life. And here we are because God has something for his people. It's good judgment. And from Genesis to Revelation, that's what it's been all about. Judgment. Now, what am I talking about? Deuteronomy 4 and 6 says, keep therefore and do them. It's talking about God's commandments, which is his word. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Now, the first verse says, now therefore what?
Hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments.
So many don't know that the 10 precepts, God's word, is statutes and judgments.
Which I teach.
And we have to hearken to that. If you don't hearken to good judgment, you have no judgment. But even though you may read the 10 precepts, and so many have watered it down by calling it the golden rule. This is the devil himself passed this saying on. It's the golden rule we live by. But you cannot live by it if you don't hearken unto the statutes and the judgments. What?
Which I teach you.
They've got to be taught to you. Now, how are they taught? Precepts and example, because you don't know judgment unless you have examples. God started in the beginning. The first example of judgment was Cain and Abel. Actually, it was Adam and the woman that God gave him. Their judgment was skewed by choosing to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And after that, Cain. Bad judgment, bad response when God accepted the offering of Abel over his. He didn't refuse his offering, but he was well pleased with Abel and said, why is your countenance changing? Because his countenance showed how he felt. And he told him, if you do well, thou shalt be accepted. He was only telling him, your sacrifice is all right, but it's not well. This is what we want. We do this with our children today, loved ones. We say, oh, honey, this and that and so and so. But this is what I want. This is the way you could do it better. Do it like this. Everything is about judgment. Read.
For to do them, that ye may live, and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you.
So if you're not taught, you can't possess the land. And the land God wants us to possess is good judgment, good ways, righteousness, and possess our beings in this way. Now let's go to Amos 5 and 21. It's from Genesis to Revelation. I don't care what we talk about. It comes back to God's word. And God's word is statutes and judgment. We have problems in the world today because everybody don't have the same judgment. Now, when you're in God, we should be of one mind, learning to have the same judgment. And all of our judgment should be in righteousness. And when you're not in righteousness, your judgment is off. Here comes problems. This is why the world today has got so many problems in the world, because their judgments are different. Everybody viewing things in a different way. Trump thinks we should have tariffs. Those that are supposed to be with him says no. The world says no. But when you're with one accord, you should be with the leader.
Yes, that's right, Pastor.
Especially when you elected them.
Right.
You should be with it. Say, well, we elected him. Let's be with, let's go with Trump.
Yes.
That's what you should do.
That's right.
Can't do it when you're not saved. But when you're living for God and you say, Lord, all that the Lord have said we will do, and that one that God chose to bring you what he wants, you should be with one accord.
Yes.
And not double-minded. Amos 5 and 21, what does it say?
I hate, I despise your feast days.
Now wait a minute, God is talking about the church. Now remember, so why are you bringing this scripture? Why are you talking? Because God is coming to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He's coming to the church world. He's not talking to those that don't live for him. He's talking about those that live for him. The mass of the people that live for him don't know him. The mass, that's what God said.
Yes.
I hate, I despise your feast days. What God is talking about, the church have appreciations. They have all kind of Mother's Days and Father's Days, and we have men's officers' days. They got all kind of, we got grandma days now. Now we got a day for men's fellowship. They got women's fellowship. This foolishness.
Yes.
And they pick all of these different days to have a feast or some kind of celebration. Deacon's Day. This is Pastor's Day, when all the pastors in the Church of God in Christ, or whatever you call yourself, we're going to meet on this Sunday, and we're going to have a great, what do they call it,
Convocation.
Convocation. And don't know nothing about these people.
Right.
And everybody's bringing something to the table, different mindset, but they're all brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Lord said, I hate, I despise your feast days, what?
And I will not smell in your solemn assemblies.
That means God got a nose.
Right. Yes.
God don't want to smell the offerings you put up. What are you talking about? Because even though we're not sacrificing bullocks and heifers, anything you bring to God is a sacrifice. And God said, I'm not going to smell it. I'm not going to be receiving it. What?
Though ye offer me burnt offerings, and your meat offering.
What are you talking about? Burn off. We didn't offer it. That's back then. Anything you bring, you're going to bring your $100 you want to put in service. You want to come and carry the pastor's satchel. You want to go out to the pastor's car and open the door for him. You want to, I'm cooking chicken for the church. I cook chicken every third Sunday. I washes the first lady's clothes. We ain't got no first lady, no church over here. In God's church, ain't no first lady. We do this and we do that. All that they offer. I keep all the children's, all the church members' children, I keep them. They call me Big Mama. Mama Big. And once a year, I have all the children under 10 come over and sleep over. They're the biggest molesters there. All of these offerings, the sacrifices they make under the guise of, I'm doing it for the church.
Yes.
What did God say?
I will not accept
I will not accept him what?
Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your faith.
All the big money you put in. All the big things you do. You're going to buy the pastor some pair of socks cost $1,000. And I got them specially in the Gaza Strip. Jesus' robe was made out of the same material your socks made out of. All this stuff. And think it means something. Read.
Take thou away from me the noise of thy song.
And you can't beat these churches. They hire musicians, professional, to play on these days they go to church, which is probably once week now. You used to have services two or three times a week because you should be talking about God's word daily. But now you may have a Bible study once in the week. The other time, even when you have a Bible study, if you were in the choir, you something special. So you only come to choir rehearsals. If you are the assistant to the assistant pastor in hopes of being a minister, you in this study, another study. Teaching how to manipulate people. So now, if you want to be a minister, always ask about the children. And when you come, like the politician, rub the children's head. And the mothers like that. And when you go to funerals, don't smile. Be sad. And make sure you can work up some tears. You want to cry as hard as those that's crying. And if anybody step in their coffin, you step in there too. You got to be sorrowful. Now, they'll love you for that. No. That's foolishness. All of this mess. He said, what?
Take thou away from me the noise of thy song.
What?
For I will not hear the melody of thy
song. Maybe if God understands a good melody. God likes a good melody too. God enjoys good music because he's got senses. God knows when your melody sounds junky. Now, if the saints don't like your melody, don't play it again. Don't, you know, that'll tell you something. If somebody said, well, that was a nice song. You say, what was it? Oh, that was 10 years ago. That was a nice song. Yeah. You ain't heard it since then. That means they ain't really care for it. Yeah. God don't want to hear all of this music. And they can play some beautiful music. God said, I hate the melody of your vials. Right. What?
But let judgment run down
as water. Isn't that something that God wanted to talk about? Yes. Judgment.
Yes, Pastor.
Read it.
But let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream.
Isn't that beautiful? Let's go to Job. God wants judgment. And most of these preachers teach the people, don't you let nobody judge you. Then what you come to church for? Because judgment is supposed to begin at the house of the Lord. And to be more specific, somebody's got to bring the judgment. It's the word that's judging us. I'm not judging anybody. But somebody's got to bring the word. Isn't that beautiful? Because yes. Most people, when they read the word, they only read what sounds good to them. Yes. And they only say, now that's what this must mean. This no, God going to bring what the word means through someone he appoint to bring the judgment. But it's not my judgment. It's God's judgment. The word is judging. Yes. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
Job 26:7.
He stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing.
Isn't that beautiful? Earth hanging on nothing.
Beautiful.
But the reality is also, so is everything else out there. Hanging on nothing. Anybody with common sense, you should ask these atheists, can you throw anything up in the earth and it hang on nothing? Say, well, the reason why you can't do that in the earth is because of gravity. God can do it. He can make some. The Lord wasn't hanging on that when he went up. He was going against gravity. He went right on up into the heaven. Isn't that beautiful? Earth hanging on nothing, sun, everything on nothing. That's your power did this.
Yes.
It's the power doing it.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
What?
He bindeth up the waters in his thick clouds, and the cloud is not rent under them.
Don't think about a natural cloud. Rain comes through clouds. That means God's anointed.
Yes. Yes.
That's where judgment comes through.
Yes.
Because the rain is the judgment. And even though rain comes to God's anointing, the clouds, they're never rent where there is no more.
Right.
Isn't that beautiful? There's always water. Psalms 77 and 17. God's clouds bring the judgment. Judgment should come down like water. And where does water come from? A cloud. Isn't that beautiful? God got a cloud of witnesses and they rain on the people.
Beautiful.
Thank God. They rain on the earth. Yes. Psalm 77 and 17.
The clouds poured out water. The skies sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad.
Clouds poured out water. That's God's anointing.
Yes.
That's why the Lord said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophet. Prophets is raining knowledge upon the people.
Yes.
but they were rejecting it. Read.
The voice of thy thunder was in the heavens.
Wait a minute. God's anointed sometimes sound like thunder. Remember James and John? They was the sons of thunder. They must have been raining pretty heavy on the people.
The lightnings.
The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. What?
The lightnings lighten the world.
Because when you lighten, when lightning came, that means you bring light in the world. And sometimes that's the way the word comes, sharp knowledge.
Yes.
I got that. I caught that. It's like lightning.
Yes.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
What?
The earth trembled and shook.
The earth trembled. You should have fear when thunder is going on and lightning. You should have fear for God's anointed.
Yes.
That's someone that's smart. 11th verse, what does it say?
Yes. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders.
Somebody's got to bring the wonders of old. God's works.
Yes.
What?
I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doing.
But most of the time when you start talking about the wonderful works of God, that carnal mind don't want to hear it. That's when carnal minds start finding things to sow. Picking cotton off their clothes. Any activity, all of a sudden they got their mind fixed on somebody's scarf. Word going for. Yeah. That's a pretty tie you got on. Pretty bow. Word going for. Find anything to focus on because they don't want to hear about God's work. The word. Yeah, we're going to be meeting over here. We're going to get into God's word. Never show up. Got business. Got some shopping to do. Got to buy that loaf of bread. You can get a loaf of bread 24/7. Read.
Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary.
Wait a minute. That's God's way is in his sanctuary.
Beautiful.
He's not talking about this sanctuary. He's talking about his people.
Yes.
Beautiful.
His way. And it's rained on the people. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
What?
Who is so great a God as our God?
Who is so great a God as our God? Let's go to 1 Peter 4:17. Who is so great a God as our God? Ava. Isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful.
Okay, but you know you need to get an English class. No, I don't.
No, you don't.
I'm talking about the word.
All
right, Pastor.
That's what happened with Peter, James, and John. He said, he sounded like ignorant men. It's like they'd been with Jesus. It wasn't about how the word sounded, but what they understood, it condemned them. That's what the problem was. 1 Peter 4:17.
For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God.
Now, it begins here because without beginning in God's house, you wouldn't have no Ten Commandments in the courthouses. You wouldn't have it even in the states. Had it not begun at the house of God, whether it was over in England, wherever they got, the Ten Commandments have traveled through time.
Right.
You got to have the Ten Precepts. Judgment begins there. Isn't that beautiful?
Yes.
And there's understanding of it. But there is a certain understanding. But to be taught to live for God, you got to be taught that.
Right.
But there's a natural understanding that can keep a society together if you obey it. That'll keep society in check. But the spiritual for your soul that circumcised your spirit,
yes,
that you got to be taught. Isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful.
I listened to this Dennis Prager, and he said he's got some book out about rational Bible. And they said, where do you start? You started in Exodus. Why not Genesis? Now, Moses wrote all five books. He said, well, in Exodus, that's where the Ten Commandments started. If you have spiritual knowledge, it started in the garden. It wasn't called ten, but it's still a commandment. Because the Ten Commandments is called the commandment. It's like God's word is called the commandment. The commandment is called the commandments. It's all the same thing because they're plural as well as singular. He said we should live holy. He said, now we're not to be made in God's image mean we're not made like animals. He said to be made in God's image mean you don't put your face down and food eat like a dog. We eat with hands. That's a carnal vision.
Yes, it is.
To me, being God's image is holiness.
That's right.
His summation of holiness had nothing to do with scripture. He didn't say, well, God said Israel was once holiness unto the Lord. His definition of holiness, he never went to scripture. He never said, well, the Ten Commandments is circumcise you in your heart. That's what make you holy. He never went there. That's what scripture said. But he went to go there. They just have surface knowledge. To my knowledge, the Prager man is nothing but what's this one that came to Jesus by night? Nicodemus. He said, you're a master in Israel. You don't know these things? Because it was all about the natural.
Yes.
Nothing spiritual. Read it again. For the time.
For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?
Gospel? They said, well, now the Lord brought the gospel. Gospel is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They bear witness to the gospel that the Son brought. And they were preachers of the gospel. God's number, God's word. That's what the gospel is. God spelled out. That's the gospel. God's word. And they think it's something only new that Jesus brought about. Gospel was here from the beginning. Moses, they had the gospel in the wilderness when they had the Ten Commandments. How many know that? Gospel was in the beginning with God because God was the word. Isn't that beautiful?
Beautiful.
Yes.
Read.
And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?
Other words, it don't mean a righteous person is going to scarcely be saved. It means the righteous are scarce. Because it ain't no just scarcely going to make it. It don't mean that. No, it don't mean that. John didn't scarcely make it. Jesus didn't just barely, he wasn't barely making. There's a whole lot of righteous in there. Samuel, he didn't barely scare you. He almost didn't do it. No, it wasn't like that. If the righteous scarcely, because they're scarce in the earth, what shall be the end?
Yes.
Where shall the ungodly?
Yes, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?
What?
Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping.
Now here's the thing. They skip over suffer according to the will, which only means according to God's word. If your suffering is because you've gotten rid of God, you're getting rid of God, you don't make graven images, you don't take it, you suffer because people reject you because you live like this. Because you don't forget the Sabbath. You say, I have to be on the Sabbath. I can't break the Sabbath. If you break the Sabbath, you've killed. You sin. That's the truth of the matter. I wouldn't lie to you. But if you're not able, you need to understand what you're doing. That's what it means to take a stand for God. You don't just go in and out. You can say, listen, I can't do that. I'll say it again. When I came out and I got the knowledge, when I was a Baptist, if I didn't feel good, I didn't go to church. Now, God, if you can't get here, God ain't got a problem with that. But if you offend in one point, you're guilty of them all. When Elaine said, I'm not going to church, I said, I'm sorry, I got to go. I said, now you say you a Baptist, fine. I'm going here. I'm dropping my anchor here. I got to go. When I came home and I was playing my song, My Life at the Same Moment, she got up and went to another room because she couldn't stand it. Why? What she couldn't stand? She couldn't stand my life. The song was fine. I was trying to live it. Now, when I began to live holy, I stopped drinking, smoking, running the street. She didn't know I was snorting cocaine. I stopped doing all that stuff. Now she don't want me because I'm sanctifying my life. But as a Baptist, we was drinking a little wine, going to shows, doing everything. She had no problem with that. I said, what's the problem? What's the problem? I never told her, I committed, I didn't tell her that, but I stopped doing everything. I said, what's the problem? I said, you say, what's the problem? Nah, I don't want you. She wanted me, but she was trying to draw me out. She said, I'm leaving. I said, well, you got to go. I ain't leaving. This is what God want me. I said, I found this. I'm not leaving. Wait a minute. Is that what Abraham did? When he said, come out from your kindred. Did he do? When they went in the wilderness, you didn't just go back and forth. This is for real. Some things are lawful. Some, you know, sometimes you can be in relationships and, you know, maybe you just can't make it because of, that's fine. I ain't got a problem. Brother Richard, on May the 8th, is it May? April 8th. Is it April? I think it's April. It might be May.
No, you said April.
He's going for 1 week to the seminar to get a better position. And he'll be gone from Sunday to the following Sunday or Monday. Fine. Because hopefully if you get a better position, he will avoid days like this. He'll still be doing some technical work, but technician work, but he'll be more of a tech where he will support people and be on the phone, yeah, not be out. That's going to be good for his future. He needs that.
Yes.
If it's 2 and 3 weeks, I don't see that. And I told him that. I don't see that going away for 2 and 3 weeks. I ain't doing that. Because
right,
it's about your soul.
Right.
You might come back different.
Right.
No. But I said, you could do this one. Maybe you could do this one. So he's going to do that. He's going to be praying that he have the same mind and keep a stand when he's gone. But I'm talking about when you're able. And you never know when it may come time to say, well, now, I'm leaving. I have to go. My family's moving. That's your family.
Right.
What you going to tell God? Well, I got to go. Now, he said, well, I'm going to Rome. I said, okay, I know now Paul is in Rome. You go over there, I tell him you're coming. But if I don't know nobody else to keep the commandments, and I can't recommend you nobody.
That's right.
See, God's church ain't like the world.
Right.
If you're a Baptist, you can go anywhere and be a Baptist.
Right.
Everywhere you go, you can find a Baptist church. Right. Everywhere you go, you can find Latter-day Saints. Yeah. Everywhere you go, you can find everything here. You can find it there. Because there's plenty of everybody, of everything. But don't say, well, I'm going and pray that I find some commandment keepers. I might pray that, but I doubt it. Because if God brought you here, that's where he wants you. It's easy to read about denying yourself, but when it comes down to it, this ain't the kind of church. Say, well, I'm not coming today because my cousin's coming out of town. And we all going to Miss Piggy's on the Sabbath. What you gonna do? That ain't lawful. But if you got an unbelieving husband and they got true business or they something have to go, but he don't business, why would you go? You say, well, you go ahead, honey. I'm keeping the Sabbath. No, you're going. No, I live for God now. You don't believe in it, but I believe in it. That's like saying, well, you lie for me then. I'll lie. You going to lie for him? No, I can't do that. You have to wait the matter out. Say, well, you know, when I wasn't living for God, I could run here and run there with you, but not on the Sabbath. I can't go with you. You're going, you go. You don't go when they go for a week. Elsewhere you don't go. Why would you leave your Sabbath? Why would you do that? Because that's what God's word tell you.
Yes.
I didn't even mean what I said. He said, when you separate from your people, you sin.
Yes.
But if it's lawful, because it's good to do good on the Sabbath, if you're trying to get education, you're not working,
right,
that's fine. But just to...
You can visit us anytime for our broadcast messages at www.godscovenantchurch.org. Write and mail us at 425 Laconia Boulevard, Los Angeles, California, 90061. Or call us at any time at area code 323-754-8302. You can email us at info@godscovenantchurch.org. Also, you can subscribe to our podcast at www.godscovenantchurch.org.